from another planet.
Greetings, human.
I don't know why I went there with that intro, but hi, we're an acquired taste podcast.
No, let's keep talking like aliens.
Yes. Hello, fellow humans.
I like humans, they are tasty.
I'm here with Clarice.
Hello, Clarice.
And also, I'm also here with Bethany and Kathleen. Clarice probably won't be saying too much.
She's dead. She got eaten with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Ooh. He saunters away at the end of that movie, too. There's such a poetic walk to him. Anyway, back to Earth, Sam. Hi.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous.
Yeah.
I have a comment I actually have been waiting to say for a while, but I wanted to save it for the podcast. Kathleen, awesome glasses.
Oh, look amazing. Thank you. Yeah, these are new.
Those are adorable.
Thank you. I just got them yesterday.
Went with reddish.
Yes, I got some colors. I actually got multiple pairs. What I really love about glasses these days is that there's so many companies out there that make having multiple pairs of glasses accessible.
Yes.
Once upon a time, you would go to a glasses store and it would be like $500.
Yep.
For even just a simple pair of glasses. And now these are from Warby Parker.
Love them.
Yeah. I have a few pairs from Warby Parker, and they're always just really cool and streamlined and unisex. And yeah, I love that company.
Can we post a picture of your glasses?
Yes.
On the internet?
Absolutely.
Okay. I feel like the unisex is like sexier.
Yeah.
I like them a lot.
Like the fact that they're a little, you know, androgynous in their style. I'm pro Warby.
And all their stuff is plastic. So if you sit on it or, you know, you drive over it with your car, it's still going to be intact.
Yeah. Yes.
I opened the door on my friend's face once and it broke his Warbies. Aww. And we were in and out in 45 minutes.
Yeah. They're great.
The customer service is fantastic.
They're not even sponsoring this podcast, but probably they should. And don't they donate as well? Like you buy a pair, they donate a pair?
I believe so.
Or something like that.
I don't know if it's every one of theirs, but they have like a... There's, I don't know what the proper phrase
some
is.
Sort of
Here's
thing.
A selection, and that's what happens with these.
Okay, cool.
At least. Yeah, so we are coming on, if you can't tell, we have a kind of dizzy energy high, and it's, I think, because we were off last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for listening to... I'm sort of proud that we even recorded a podcast for vacation, but thank you for listening to it if you did. And also, I need to apologize to Webgirl Kathleen for a comment that was very inappropriate that
what?
I made earlier today. During commercial breaks during the big show, I stepped into a conversation about pregnancy and then without solicitation offered to deliver your baby via water birth.
Yes, you did.
When that time comes. And I said that I would be happy to be both your doula and your midwife.
Yes.
And I would welcome your baby into the world by way of your bathtub.
Bathtub, yeah.
Never a place that I should have walked into.
In which Bethany proceeded to inform me that you can just keep the baby underwater once it's born because it will swim for eternity.
It'll swim around until you like push it to the surface to take its first breath. Don't try that at home. I'm almost positive that's true, but not positive enough to stake a baby's life on it. But anyway,
the placenta floats, so you'll walk home with something.
This
at
is
the end
all
of the day.
Because there's a guy who broadcasted Facebook Live his wife's birth in California yesterday, and it's kind of the first of its kind, a live birth on a social media video sharing app.
Yeah. Don't think I want to do that myself.
No.
But it's interesting that he did. I don't know. I'm crossing my legs right now.
You are. You're actually tensing.
I'm sitting. Yeah. I'm so uncomfortable.
I mean, I speak for myself and all of the other never nudes out there in the world. I would kill somebody if they did that.
Yeah.
I would get off the birthing table, hold that baby in and find a scalpel, and then murder that person.
And then deliver the baby via water birth.
And then deliver the baby via Bethany's water birth.
Like a murderous dolphin. Yeah, I don't want to have kids at all, but I especially don't want to broadcast on social media.
No,
she just wants
not.
To deliver others. That's fine.
I'll deliver your baby happily.
My cousin is a doula.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's a great thing.
She loves babies, and it's a good profession for her.
Wow.
It's dope. Yeah, my mom runs a volunteer doula program in Minnesota. So,
oh, look at that.
Doula.
Your mom, aka the most fascinating woman in the entire world.
She's fabulous.
She is.
You know, a lot of people that give birth in hospitals, especially here in New York City, they still hire doulas because doulas advocate for you in the hospital, especially if they're familiar with particular hospitals. They can really be your best friend because they know your rights and what, you know, the best way to
really?
Go about certain situations.
Yeah. They're not there for the baby at all. They don't help deliver the baby. They're there for the mother.
Can I just hire one to come in to work?
Yeah, sure.
That sounds like
a career doula.
Oh my God. I need a career doula. We're going to get career doulas. We're going to be sponsored by Warby Parker.
Yes.
This podcast is really taking off.
Isn't a career doula just an agent? Yeah. Isn't that what that is?
No, it's a career doula.
Or a life coach.
I like it. I like it a lot. But yeah, so we are back from vacation and we all sort of went somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, if not to the brink of insanity. Yeah. We all did things. And why don't you start, Kathleen? What did you do?
Oh, I went to Savannah with my mom for 4 days. And Savannah is a gorgeous city. Mm. And it's really small, you know, to the part of Savannah that you want to see is the historic downtown part of Savannah. And there's so many cool houses that you can tour and they give you the whole history. I'm really into that kind of stuff. And my mom read this book recently, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Great book.
And it all takes place in Savannah. So we did a lot of the historical landmarks that are talked about in that book. And she had a really good time. It's just kind of nice being with mom.
Did you see the Forrest Gump bench?
I did.
Yay!
No, I saw where it was, but it has since been removed.
Oh,
that's right, because people would not stop gathering around it.
Yeah, it's in a museum now in Savannah, which I didn't get a chance to go to, but I looked up pictures of Katy Perry sitting on it, so that's enough, right?
There it is. That's close.
Did you see any ghosts? Because Savannah's super haunted.
I didn't. You know, I wanted to go on a ghost tour, but my mom was kind of freaked out about it, but I was like, Mom, you know, if Bethany were here, we would definitely be going on a ghost tour. Mm-hmm. But you guys spent time with your mom on vacation too, right?
Yeah, it was a mom-cation for all of us.
Yeah, for sure. Where'd you go? You went to the Bahamas?
I did. The Bahamas. It's the Jewish part of the island. And I went with my entire family, which was a little scary because I have two younger sisters and, you know, I'm the eldest and then the middle is 3 years younger than me and the youngest is 4 years younger than that. So we've had an interesting spread of dynamics throughout the years. Mm-hmm. But I think we're finally at that point where we can accept each other and their weirdnesses and kind of just embraced it. And we were the closest friends we've ever been on this trip, which was really nice. Yeah. No one tried to murder anybody. And it was 5 days. I'm shocked. I really am surprised. But we had a lot of fun once I got over the fact that my baby sister was trying to get shwasted in front of me. It was a lot of fun.
She just graduated from high school.
She just finished her first semester of college.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Damn.
Her blood type is vodka.
Can I admit something to you now, Sam?
Oh, please do.
Up until this very point, I have thought that you had three sisters.
You did?
Because this is why. You all look just like each other. And you never mention all of their names in one sentence. You're just like, blah, 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 Farrah, et cetera, et cetera. And so I always thought there were four women total. And then I saw a picture of you and I was like, why is one sister not on vacation? And
she's taking the picture.
Yeah, now I realize you all look alike and I've just always thought that there were more than... I never saw you. It was like when people, this is like way back in the day, but people used to think that Janet Jackson and Michael Jackson were the same person because they were never seen together. And so I think that I just always assumed, never having seen all of you in a group.
That is so funny to me. That is fantastic. Well, usually we get mistaken, but because my mom is shorter than us and has a very youthful way about her, so they think we're four sisters, which she loves.
Maybe that was part of it,
that
too.
That might have also been part of it.
Yeah.
But it was. I really enjoyed it. And the highlight of the entire trip for me is kind of going to sound really silly. I learned that no technology will ever be able to replace book reading.
Yeah.
Oh. Because, you know, we were all Snapchatting and Facebook and whatever, Instagramming all these photos the whole time because it's what you have to do. And I was reading Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Oh, they're going to make that into a movie, right?
Yeah, with Tim Burton. And I'm excited. It's been, a great read so far. And my sisters were looking at my facial expression as they were getting ready and asked, they're like, okay, what the hell is it? What? Why are your eyes like that? And I explained the book to them and they're too cool for school, but finally had to ask, I mean, since you're done and we're still getting ready, do you want to read it to us? Do you want to start from the beginning? And I was through the first few chapters and I looked up and my mom was on the bed listening
to
me.
Oh, that's
so cute! I'm reading a story to my mother and my two sisters and it was kind of amazing. I loved it. I did the voices for the characters without realizing it. And it was a really nice connected feels moment.
You know, my sister and her husband and their friend, when I think one of the Harry Potter books just came out, this is a while ago, they were so excited. They bought it the day that it came out and they sat for the rest of the day, and they each read a chapter to the rest of the people, to the rest of the room, and they read the whole book that way.
Wow.
I've never read a book aloud to anybody.
Really?
I mean, aside from like my, you know, my nieces reading to them, but like I've never or had anyone read to me. That's such a lost art.
It was. It felt amazing, especially because I knew it was coming, so I'd always have the right dramatic pause whenever when I got to that page. And you feel everyone lean in just a tad bit, and I'd be like, and then the lights turned on. Made it so dramatic, and it was a blast.
There's something just very soothing about listening to somebody tell you a story, mm-hmm. and then you can kind of zone out. One of my favorite apps is this Amazon app called Audible, mm-hmm. and it's a subscription service to audiobooks. So instead of listening to music when I'm walking, doing errands, I listen to stories and I enjoy it so much more.
It's a good idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I think if you're listening to this, it means you love podcasts, and so you'll probably also love hearing books.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe we should just read a book as our next podcast.
Can I tell you?
What?
I worked at a previous radio show before this job, and we were always looking to try to like do different cool stuff, and I suggested we listen to the movie Anchorman on the air starting from the beginning.
Oh my god.
So the show started at I think 5 a.m. at that point, and so we at 5:05 we just started playing Anchorman, and then we just sat and watched it for an hour.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I bet the listenership was really high because I love that movie.
I don't know if it went over very well, but I was really proud that we tried it.
That's amazing. I had a roommate who, she was, we're very good friends. She was very sweet. She goes, I'm going to go to sleep. Will you just tell me a story?
Oh.
So I went into her room with her, and she got into bed, and I sat down in the chair, and she thought I was making it up off the top of her head, but I told her the entire Twilight saga.
Kathleen, this is a great story. You should write a book.
And I just know that I've read those books a million times, so I really know the plot lines out through and through. And she was asleep, and the next morning she woke up. She's like, that was the most amazing story.
That's the craziest dream.
And I had to come clean. I had to tell her it was Twilight.
That's hilarious.
And it wasn't me.
I always feel so much pressure when my nieces are like telling me a story, because I feel like I'm a pretty creative person, but I always fail when it comes to coming up with stories, because I'm thinking always of Lewis Carroll, who like made up Alice's Adventures in Wonderland because they wanted him to tell them a story, and he comes up with this friggin' amazing world.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's always the pressure I feel, and I always fall short. Just the look she gives me of total disappointment. It's that plus pity.
How old is she?
Oh, damn. 7?
That powerful look on Bethany.
It's that like, I'm disappointed in you, Aunt Bibi. I'm now also going to take pity on you and let you go. Like, you can leave now.
Yeah, not enough princesses.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I really am sorry that you suck at this so bad. I'll relieve you of your duties. I'm so terrible at it.
You have to, like, now you've got to, you'll stick it to that little kid.
You've
got to come up with stories now. Brace them.
Screw you, Eliza.
Collect them.
Yeah.
Sit in that chair. I'm going to blow your freaking minds.
Little kids, especially ones that you're related to, sometimes the things that they say, I like cannot even believe they're saying. My nephew recently made his first communion.
Yeah.
And the priest is asking all of the children making their communion about when the body of Christ was first served. And, you know, the kids are kind of like, you know, they're young. They couldn't remember. And so the priest says, well, it was at the Last Supper. And my niece, oh, who's 5, says out loud, well, I didn't see that coming. Right in the middle of Mass. Like, where did you come from? Where did you even learn that?
Praise Jesus.
What 75-year-old man have you been hanging out with?
That's adorable. When little kids and old people, like when you start to lose your or are first starting to find your you have liberty to say whatever you want.
Absolutely.
And it's hilarious.
We were just recently at my cousin's wedding, and you know, it was not terribly religious, but there was certainly a prayer. And my sister and her husband don't go to church with, mm-hmm. so my nieces don't pray. They don't really know what that is. Mm-hmm. And so it's at the wedding reception, and they've done all of the speeches, and it's time to eat. And my aunt, the mother of the bride, stands up and very solemnly says, you know, I would love to really, before we eat, have a prayer. And the room goes very quiet. Everyone folds their hands. Mm-hmm. And my aunt goes, Dear Lord. And out of the corner, my niece Eleanor, who's 4, goes, you know what, guys? And starts a conversation. And everyone turns to look at her. And God God bless my aunt for continuing on and pretending she didn't hear that. But they had no idea what was happening. She just assumed everyone in the room got real quiet so she could tell a story.
Well, this party died. I'm going to bring it back to life.
Little kids in religion, it's so funny, the questions that they ask.
Oh, dear God.
My mom's Jewish and my dad's Catholic, so bless their hearts. They sent me to Sunday school and Hebrew school at the same time so that
wow.
I could pick.
Oh.
But what they didn't realize was that I was just afraid to say Jesus in the wrong place. I didn't raise my hand to talk ever for anything because I'm like, all right, which one had the ark? Where am I right now? Yeah. Who has crackers? Like, I just couldn't, at my young age, could not line everything up.
Candle lighting's at 4:15. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Exactly.
Amen.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I didn't really know any Jewish people until I moved to the East Coast.
Welcome.
There's not a huge group in Wisconsin.
Happy to have you.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here. My friend Allegra calls me her shiksa goddess because I love the Jewish religion.
Yeah, I do too.
I just think it's awesome. I love just learning about all of it. I love it. But when is it appropriate to say Shabbat Shalom?
That is on the Sabbath, which is every like Friday at sundown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Thanks. Just checking.
Friday from sundown to Saturday at sundown.
I'm going to put that in my phone.
I would usually go and also with you just so I can embarrass my mother at temple because I had it at that point. I was bat mitzvah. I've been ushered in. I could say this stuff now. It's like Jewish tenure.
Yeah,
like,
you got
I'm
this.
Fine. Exactly.
I just like celebrating things.
Yeah.
So I'll be all of the religions. If I get a holiday every other weekend, I'm cool with that.
Which is sort of not the point of religions.
Yeah, I know.
I choose all of them.
Yeah, I like all of them.
I like them all.
My husband's father was Jewish, so many times we'll celebrate Hanukkah or Passover with his grandfather. And I just think it's fun. It's cool traditions that I never, you know, being a Catholic, I have traditions, but mm-hmm. It's different, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love those latkes. They're just so good.
Oh, they're so good.
Oh, potato latkes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Forget about it. Parsnip latkes.
I'm sorry. What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Talk to my sister-in-law. She'll tell you how to make them.
Parsnip latkes? Holy. Okay, we're going to pause.
By the way.
We're going to stop the podcast. I need to go write this down.
Do you ever think of what your fairy princess name would be? Because mine, I think, would be Parsnip Latkes. Would that not be the cutest damn garden fairy name?
Parsnip that would be latkes. Cute.
Right?
Parsnip.
Parsnip?
I see you with these giant, adorable eyes.
That's
I like
what
this.
I see, too.
Yeah.
We're on the same page.
I predict the next child that Gwyneth Paltrow has will be named Parsnip.
I hope so. I feel like Parsnip is the name of a child or fairy who is like very, she means so well, but she can't help but be mischievous. And
yes.
She keeps trying to be good. And all of the other fairies are like, you be good, Parsnip. And she's like, I'll try. And then she flies out into the garden and then she accidentally rides the fox around. I think I'm thinking of David the Gnome now. She rides the fox around and then she accidentally lets the horses out of the gate. And she just didn't mean to. She just tumbled over the latch.
Yes. Parsnip.
Parsnip.
You know, I'm really disagreeing with your niece right now. You're very good at making us stories on the fly.
That's adorable. What would her catchphrase be? Because she'd need one anytime she got herself just into a little bit of a pickle.
It would be, toodles, not again. And then everyone would be like, oh, Parsnip. But there would be the old fairy, like the fairy godmother, but the withered. You could tell she was a beauty at one point because she still got her cheekbones. Mm-hmm. And she would be like the one who's stern but loving.
Yeah.
And all the other student fairies would go to sleep, bedtime, and Parsnip would be all sad because she fucked up again. And then they would be like, you know, her name would be like Artora. And she would be like, Parsnip, come here, Parsnip. And then Parsnip would be like, I'm sorry, Artora. And she would be just like,
sorry,
oh, Parsnip, I too was a young fairy. But like you, I learned that there are things that are more important than following rules. And then she gets a glint in her eye. And she's like,
sending this to your niece.
Yep. She's like, sometimes it's more important to have fun. And then Parsnip is like, really? And she's like, now go to bed. And she pushes her on the little butt. And then she goes, Parsnip goes to bed and she hugs her stuffed animal, which is way too big for her because she's a little fairy. And she falls asleep and everything's fine.
Oh, and I think also in the end, Parsnip finally finds a community of other fairies with root vegetable names.
Absolutely. Yay!
Where she's accepted for the klutz that she is.
Yes. Yes. If you listen to the show and you do any kind of art, please, yes. please draw parsnip. Yeah. Please.
Oh my gosh.
Tweet us your pictures of parsnip.
Please make us an art.
I'm that so ravening right now. Oh! Like I'm out and I'm seeing things and I don't want to come back.
All right. That was my vacation. I went to a fairy princess land.
There was a fairy princess.
Brilliant.
Land.
It was fabulous.
But this wonderful story you didn't know was about to surface.
You know, we're very lucky we get so many weeks of vacation a year just because it's very hard to wake up early in the morning. And I just kind of think it's like, this is what you get for waking up before most people have even gone to bed every day. Mm-hmm. And I never traveled as much as I did until I started working here because everybody here has this traveling mindset. And I love it. Mm-hmm. You know, if and when I ever leave this job, it's going to be one of the most important lessons that I take with me.
How did we all find each other? Yeah. We're here because we are interested in radio in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. But it just so happens we also all have wanderlust.
Yeah,
for
serious
sure.
wanderlust.
I don't get it.
One of the best things I ever did a few years ago, my husband and I started a vacation fund.
That's very, very smart.
And every couple weeks, we just put in a little bit of money. And it really helps in the end when you're traveling that way.
Does any of the money in the vacation fund go towards funding your vacation wardrobe?
No.
Okay.
Because
I remember when you bought like
a separate one.
You bought like 12 pairs of black capris.
Black leggings.
Pencil pants.
Pencil pants.
A pencil pant collection.
But a little bit in there, you know, every now and then when you have a few extra bucks, by the time you're ready to go on vacation, you don't need to spend any of that paycheck that you're making while you're away on vacation. It really
helps.
It's
very smart.
I do love this.
Yeah.
All right. We're going around the room. What is one thing that I know you learned something on vacation, but I want to know something you learned this week.
Something that I learned this week. Oh, okay. Hey, children, you know you shouldn't. Don't pick your frickin' face, because I broke out a little bit and then of course I had to go at it. Yes, we're getting personal here, whatever, we're all friends. And I broke out so terribly. And then I wasn't able to touch my face all week because I was with my sisters and they, you know, you share a bathroom, a room with them and they would yell at me. And then when I came back, like my face is like, has not been this clear and months.
Yeah, it helps to not pick at it.
Yeah, so I'm going to see how long I can keep the streak going.
Good
Don't
girl.
Touch it.
Don't touch your face.
What did you learn, Bethany?
What did I learn this week? I learned that sometimes it is just important to do absolutely nothing. Like when I went home to Wisconsin for vacation. I needed some family support. My kitty cat passed away. And so, who, by the way, we raise animals as though they are people. And so that was my mom's nephew.
Yeah.
Like my nieces, that was cousin Oliver. Yeah. And like we have cousin Zelda, who's a 9-year-old calico cat, but it's their cousin. So, so it was a big, it was the whole, my whole family, it hit everyone really, really hard. So I was home, but I learned that there is something just so profoundly rejuvenating about doing nothing and being militant about it. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't go anywhere. I didn't visit anyone. I stayed on the couch and I read and I fell asleep and I woke up and I read and fell asleep. And if you can even take one day, like a Saturday, and you know, farm the kids off to somebody or tell your friends that you're turning your phone off and be militant about doing nothing, It sounds trite, but it just restores you so much.
Yeah.
And I cannot put into words how important it is because, man, my coping skills go down the hill when I'm tired. And like you were saying, Kathleen, we wake up so early that I have no coping skills.
Yeah.
Right.
That helped so, so much.
Yeah, all right. Press the rejuvenation button. People don't
Hell
do anything.
What about you, Kathleen? What did you learn this week?
I learned that when you blush, the lining of your stomach also turns red.
What?
Really?
I never blush.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, let me know if you guys ever see it, because I don't know that I'm capable of it.
Are you numb to the feels?
Maybe.
Is your heart rock?
Is it my face or is it my stomach? That's the problem.
Oh.
Now I don't know.
Or maybe it's just your olive complexion.
I actually don't know if this is true, but I read it on factssd.com.
Oh, you love that website.
I love that website. So if anybody knows if this is true or can prove me wrong, please, by all means, go ahead. You can get in touch with us on Twitter @AcquiredPodcast or on Instagram @AcquiredTastePodcast.
Yes, and please, that's where also you can post us pictures, like tweet us pictures of parsnip.
Yeah. Or nudies.
Or
I'll take those too.
Or nudies all the time.
We love you. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.